Hey, I'm Kayla Hansen.
And I'm Crystal Blasco. We're sisters, home organizers, coffee
and cocktail lovers,
and hosts of this witty show, Well Ordered, Well Lived.
Grab your favorite beverage and join us as we have fun and curious conversations with ourselves and others about home solutions, family, and reinvesting in new experiences.
Let's do this.
Well, well, welcome to another episode of Well Ordered, Well Lived. Hey there, I'm Kayla Hansen. I'm joined with my lovely sister and co-host, Crystal Blasco.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, today we have a fabulous guest with us. She's a mom of three sweet, spirited kiddos, with one getting ready for her driver's license. Look out, everyone. Look out. She teaches, not the daughter, but our guest, teaches high school English. She owns an amazing botanical boutique called Branch and Blossom. She and Crystal were college roommates while in Kentucky. There's a backstory here, ladies.
Gentlemen.
And all you gents out there, you guys are going to like this one. We're so excited to welcome our guest for a little sip and chat today. Hello, Dominica Gilombardo. Hey!
You nailed it. You nailed that name.
You really did. You nailed my name.
Thank you. I take pride in names. Eric always says, like, you remember everybody's name. And yeah. So now that I, like, your name is really fun to say, first of all. I know Crystal always calls you D, and I'm like,
I know.
She's got a full name here.
It's just so habit. And I was going to say that, like, throughout the episode today, I'll probably go back and forth between Dominica or D, but I definitely say D a lot. And I thought, I wonder if, as she's like, now that she's an adult, if people even call her that anymore. She's like, my name is Dominica. Don't call me D.
I think they used to call me D, but it was like, relative to sports, because it was just so much faster when I was growing up. So, and then everyone, because all I did was play sports, so then everyone called me D. It just got to a point where no one knew that my name was anything else.
Yeah.
So then I like took a stand and was like, no, you know, or but I don't really care either way.
Do they say it now? Not very often, maybe.
Very few people call me D. Actually, my father-in-law is one of the only people who does, which is sweet.
That's really
cute. I don't mind it. Okay. I don't mind it at all.
It'll be a hard habit for me to break, but I'll try to.
You can call me whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, goodness.
Thank you so much for
we're so excited
joining
to have you.
Us, and we're really excited to talk to you. But before we do that, we must know, what are you sipping on?
Well, it's early, so yes. I'm sipping on LaCroix, and anyone who knows me knows I drink, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 a day.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Problem. What's your flavor of choice?
So I'm actually pretty flexible. There are a couple of hard stops for me on flavors that I don't like. Like the cucumber melon one to me tastes like a candle would taste, I think. So like I can't, I don't know, it reminds me of Bath and Body Works circa 1997. So I don't like drink that one. But I love hibiscus. That's what I'm drinking right now. I gave up soda a few years ago, so I drink a lot of LaCroix.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good spot.
I have to go back and forth with soda water because I feel like it does like bloat me. I mean, TMI, but I'm like, I feel like I'm always like super belchy like 3 days later if I like really go like on a soda water kick, and then I'm like, whew, I had a detox from soda water for a bit.
So Crystal's not drinking LaCroix.
Yeah, no, clearly not in her cup. I've trained my body though. It's ready for it. It craves the
carbonation.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Too much carbonation. I'm sipping on a basic just passion fruit hot tea.
No chlorophyll
today. This is like the nicest day in Indiana. It's going to be like 81 degrees. And I'm like, how about some hot tea?
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to stop and get some iced coffee, and I like just got here. And then I'm like, I'll just have some tea too. So I'm just boring today.
You have like English? What do you have?
I don't know. Some kind of awake tea. Whatever. It's just a black tea. I'm almost done with it already.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Okay, well, everybody, enjoy your drinks.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy your drinks.
Yes.
Enjoy your drinks. Get
cheers.
Ready.
Get ready.
So,
cheers, cheers.
Cheers, yes.
So a little bit of background. Yes, so Dominica and I did go to college together. We went for a couple years together before I transferred, and we went to Morehead State in Eastern Kentucky. And
go Eagles.
Go Eagles. It was so fun. If I think about that now, I'm like, college, both my high school and college days, I have such fond memories. Just incredible memories. I can't imagine going through those phases in life with social media as how it is today. No. So I'm so thankful for the time that we had in college, and with the only thing we had was like AOL Instant Messenger, and you'd leave like your away message your computer when you would leave.
We were so cool. We were so cool.
These passive aggressive messages that were like,
and we were just burning CDs left and right. Just Napster. And
Please tell me you have some burned CDs still.
Oh, I for sure do. I need someone to well order, well live my house because I have a lot of garbage that needs to go.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we started in the same dorm. We were a floor apart, and then we met, and we ended up rooming together in a on-campus apartment. Remember we lived in Mays?
Yes, but can we also share the story of how we started hanging out because of my desperation? Because that's a fantastic anecdote.
It was not anecdote. So my roommate and I were there. My girlfriend Ashley came down from South Bend. So we knew nobody, but we were like eighth grade or middle school and high school best friends. We knew each other. And then that was it. We didn't know anybody else. And we thought that you guys, like we thought everybody else who was there was like, oh, everybody's from Kentucky. We're from Indiana. They all know everybody. So we kind of like had our own clique. But turns out, Domenica, you were from Ohio, a floor below us. You didn't know anybody.
And I had come to college. Like my boyfriend ended up coming to the same college I was at. And
oh my gosh, I remember him.
So this was the problem, you know, just a pro tip for like young girls going to college. Yeah. Like you go with your boyfriend, but then it's a crutch. You don't meet anyone else because you have that built-in system.
Yeah.
So when he and I shockingly broke up, not too long after I was there, then I was like, I had no one. Mm-hmm. Like I had no friends, and I had like, I just didn't have a place to belong. And I remember being on the phone with my mom, like, I don't know anyone. And like all this stuff. Yeah. And she was like, Domenica, just go knock on a door. And I was like, okay, pushy. Like I'm good at, I don't know. I'm very self-driven. I'm motivated. I'm like OCD type A, but I'm also like weirdly introverted and shy.
Yeah.
But I remember walking by Crystal and Ashley's room many times. The door was always open and they always seemed like they were having, it was like a movie. It seemed like so much fun in there. Mm. And so one day I just basically went up and was like, hey, you guys want to be friends?
I forget.
It was the scariest moment.
You came up and you asked us a question. I can't remember. I wish I could remember the question, but it was, I don't know what it was about.
It was total garbage. It was just so I could,
just to like introduce yourself. And we were like, like stay, come on. And then like later it came out and we were like, oh, we were so blown away because we're like, we're so happy that you did it. Because had we not had you for the rest of college or the rest of our time being there, I just can't even imagine. So it was
so funny. Your mom was so funny. That was horrific, but also the best move ever.
It was so much fun. So then, from there we moved into an apartment together on campus, which I'm not even sure I actually stayed at very often because I was dating somebody at the time. And
yes, that's true. You and were gone a lot.
I was gone a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I just remember coming home one time, Dean, you had written, remember you drew on the wall? You like
I did like a
the
big
Dixie
mural.
You did like the Dixie Chicks like quotes and stuff. Oh yeah, for me.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. So just such good times. There was other, that was a fun apartment.
Yeah, it was. Gosh. It was like right in the heart of campus. So it was like a good place and they were like decent apartments. So it was nice.
It was a co-ed apartment building too. So that we thought we were like really grown up then, you know, like.
Yeah, we were like friends.
Yeah.
Because the guys lived next door and we were like, oh my gosh, it's friends. We're so cool.
So funny. Yeah. So good times. And then I transferred. And then did you finish out at Moorhead or did you transfer?
I finished out at Moorhead and then moved immediately back to Florida because my mom was sick at the time. Oh, so like my plan was to like, I mean, to be fair, I was like a train wreck of a human being up until my adulthood. My plan was to sort of leave college and have a fresh start. I wanted to travel the world. I was going to teach English. You could basically teach English and live anywhere and get room and board for free. So like, honestly, my first stop was Alaska because you get free health insurance for life if you teach in Alaska for a year.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then I was going to go to Russia and then work my way through Asia and then over to Europe. Like that was the plan.
Wow.
And then my literally weeks before, while I was student teaching in Lexington, weeks before my graduation, my brother called and said my mom was sick and I needed to come home. And then I really had never left. Like I went home to Florida and then that's where we've been ever since, really.
Yeah. I mean, time goes by so fast. I remember we talked about Calla, your oldest, and she's getting ready to drive. But I remember coming down to your baby shower for her. But I think,
oh my gosh, that's right.
Yeah. And so now I'm like, gosh, she's going to be 15 and like she wasn't even born. We were just having this celebration for you. And so, yeah,
no, time flies. I'm freaking out. Like my husband and I, we just are always looking at each other like, what do we do now? Like we don't know how to parent. Yeah. Like she's the first one. So she's like the test child. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Working through like, and we both, again, were pretty off the rails as kids and didn't have a lot of rules and we're raising our kids in a completely different way than we were raised. Yeah. So it's just been it's a hard transition and we're lucky. She's a great kid. It could be a lot harder.
I was going to say all of your kids seem really, really sweet. And I mean, I saw when they did your 12th anniversary dinner, at the house and you had a maitre d' and like the whole menu and everything. I'm like, that is so sweet. Like, I hope one day my kids are that cool. kudos to you, kids.
And it's true. Like I personally try to be really careful about not just putting highlights online. So like there's a picture of me on Instagram with like my head on the steering wheel of my car as like my kid's going out with her girlfriend for the first time, like late, you know, and doesn't even give me a look back as she skips away from the car or whatever. We have plenty of issues, but by and large, our kids are fantastic. And people always want to be like, oh, it's you. It's really not. The personalities of our kids are great. We've also been really intentional about the way we've raised them, which is different than the way we were raised. Not that we had bad parents or bad childhoods. It's just, it was a different time, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just such a different world, especially like you were saying, I think, Crystal, like the social media changes everything.
Oh my gosh.
And it's not just me being like an old grumpy mom, whatever. It's a completely different world and there's access to different things and you just have to be so mindful of.
And it's not their fault. No, it's not their fault at all.
It really, really isn't. And so it's also really hard, like managing a business that I basically run via social media and a website, but being mindful of like setting an example of how I'm on the phone and how I'm like using that time versus like intentional time with my kids. You know what I mean? Like we have no technology at the table, right? We eat dinner together every night, no technology at the table. And then if any of us are on the phone too much, even like after dinner or whatever, we'll just call each other. Like Calla will say to my husband, like, Dad, get off the phone. Like,
oh, I love that. Nice. Yep. That's how.
But meanwhile, she's on the phone and he's like, Calla, get off the phone. You know what I mean? Like it's a crazy balance because we need it for work. We need it for our businesses. We need it for all those things. And it's just such a slippery slope into completely disconnecting from all of the real things that are happening. So it's a weird balance, I think.
No, I love that. I'm glad you brought that up because that is as we dive into kind of your small business, but that is the challenge of being intentional and being very present in the life and then trying to navigate the waters in the world of social media, but then wanting to grow your business and then this love-hate relationship. And then it's just an extreme to where you jump in full because you're so excited about this new business. And then you become overwhelmed and you're exhausted. And you're like, well, now I just want to get off social media and just stop everything in general. And so, what is that? What is that balance? And so it's a struggle that I think a lot of people deal with, especially I don't want to say especially, but I know as small business owners that Kayla and I are, that we deal with that as well. So
it's a huge deal. And it's so easy to get caught up in this, like, you know, I'll have somebody say to me like, well, the algorithm. And I'm like, yo, like, I can't.
Oh yeah. Like, you'll never beat it.
You can't. And for me, I'm not trying to be an international superstar. Yeah. And maybe if you are, that matters a lot more. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, I can only do what I can do in my small space. I can control what I can control and I can put out content that really reflects me. It reflects my brand. It reflects whatever, like that's what I care about. And that it honors what I believe and what I value and that my kids can be a part of it. And I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? Like all those things are pillars for me and how I interact online. So it's a huge part of what I do. And I'm very intentional about like the timing of things and the nature of things. And I'm learning as I go and seeing what works and what doesn't. And Jody, who you guys had on the show, was just like a total game changer for me in terms of like how I interact online, and has really like helped a lot. Like, so just like,
awesome.
Yeah, like sourcing good information from people whose values line up with mine, right? Because again, my goal is probably different than, you know, a teenager who wants to be an influencer. And as someone who teaches high school English, you know, they all think that that's plausible. Like that's back in the day, every kid thought they were going to be an athlete, right? Like every kid was going to go to the NBA, every kid was going to go to the NFL, whatever. And people tried to tell them like the odds are so small, right? Well, now our whole game in teaching is telling the kids how small the odds are that they will actually become an influencer.
It's so
because
crazy.
It seems so close.
So achievable. Yes. That's bananas that you even have to address that. Those are things that I just can't imagine those conversations, but, that is crazy. let's switch gears just a little bit. I mean, we're talking about Branch and Blossom, but where did this, you started this business in the middle or maybe at the very kind of beginning of the pandemic. So, which leads me to believe you've been thinking about it and the timing, you were just like, yep, this is it because I'm home, or what was the launching pad here?
So, you know, I've been a teacher since I graduated college. I knew I wanted to be a teacher when I went to college. And I always knew I wanted to teach upper high school. So I have, like, I teach seniors, some juniors, you know, whatever. Like, those are my people. And I teach high school English, which most people hate, but like, it's a wheelhouse for me. I love it. I love my students. It is very, very fulfilling. And then COVID hit and we're teaching from home and we're pushing out videos and content and grading. And teaching is already a really hard deal because it's more work than is manageable for less pay than is reasonable, basically. So you're pushing, the really good teachers, you know, are pushing themselves constantly, creating original content, working in communities online, like, you know, just doing all the stuff. And I teach like AP literature, so the very highest end of like high school literature, and constantly like working. And then to watch kids who've worked so hard and get certain grades, just not even come close to getting into the schools they want to get into, because all of it's kind of arbitrary. Like, I hate to say it out loud, but it's true.
Yeah.
So there's like a real crazy randomness to it as well, you know? And so that's why, like, for me, I'm always about teaching life skills and, you know, things that you're going to use no matter what. Nobody's going to be an English teacher. Like, I'm not sitting there thinking these kids are all going to be English teachers after this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, whatever. So teaching has been hard for me. I actually left a school that I was at that I loved because the workload was so intense. And I just,
the burnout was real.
Really. Yeah, it was so, I mean, I was taking home like 20 hours of work a week, because if you're actually teaching in your classroom every day, you're not getting the grading done there. Like, you just aren't. So the amount of, and then I was losing time with my family. I was just really convicted that that wasn't right. And I wasn't going to look back and wish that I had spent more time grading papers, basically. So I moved to a smaller school in the middle of COVID. So as that first like lockdown was ending, I was withdrawing from the school I was in sort of and applying to other places, got into this much smaller school, great people, love it there. And I've been there all year, but like in the middle, the workload was so much smaller. Like, I didn't almost know what to do with myself. Like, I was so used to functioning at this like super busy pace all the time that I had all this free time. And I'm not really a self-care person in the sense of like, let me take a bubble bath or what. Like, that's just not really, I'm inherently creative. Mm-hmm. So like, I like cooking. I made wedding cakes for a few years. Like, you know,
I remember that. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Like, I just kind of do, I don't know, whatever's there. And I think if you have that creative bent, you can kind of apply it to anything. So the flowers probably seemed like a leap to a lot of people. But for me, it was just like one more arm of like, you know, this thing that I already do or have or whatever, right? So in the middle of pandemic, my daughter was babysitting for this amazing farm down the street from us. And I went there one day, they were having a festival and they had these vendors set up, and I just looked around and I was like, man, somebody with fresh flowers could really probably kill it here, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
I kid you not. And so I got in the car from picking her up and called my husband and just said, hey, I've got this idea. I think I want to start a business. Like, literally, because this is the funny part. This wasn't like, you guys are like, so you've probably been planning it. I definitely wasn't. Like, it was not like that at all.
Wow.
It was just me like seeing an opening for something that I already really love. So mm-hmm. the passion was already there. Like I've always loved florals and botanicals and things like that as part of design. My mother loved it. It was a huge influence on me. And so, and entertaining, especially, like all of that stuff kind of goes hand in hand for me. Mm-hmm. But then when I saw this opening, I said to him, like, I think I could totally do this fence, you know, whatever. And the great thing about my husband is that he maybe to a fault completely believes in me.
No matter what, it is.
And it's amazing. Like, it's seriously, like there wasn't even a hesitation. It was him like, yeah, you could totally do that. You should do that. Like, yes. On the phone.
Vince. And then yes, shout out to Vince.
No, shout out to Vince. Yes. Love that guy. Like, he's, and again, maybe to a fault, because he's very much like, he's the dreamer. He's the, like, he just thinks anything is possible. Life is short. You just never know. Like, you know, make hay. And so he just was like, do it. And the next weekend I was set up at this farm, and incredible people at the farm who were just like, yeah, set up, give it a go. Like, just see if it works. I mean, they were so amazing. So it just sort of happened that way. I know it sounds crazy, but it just, I mean,
but crazy in the best way. Feel like there are so many of these stories that happen because not a matter of like people get ambitious during this time, but like your husband is mm-hmm. saying, like, life is just too short. So if you have a dream, and that's, we had a little kind of pre-call discussion about, you know, or maybe it was on here. We talk so much now, I can't really remember, but what is possible? And, oh, like being on social media and saying like, well, the reason I'm on social media is to be like this big national, you know, global person. Well, nobody ever, who set that parameter in place that if you start a business, you need to go from 0 to 100 million in a week. So there's this journey that's a part of the process, which is what Kayla and I are experiencing too, where it's like people ask us like, well, what are you guys going to do? Like, where are you going to be in 5 years? And we're like, hey, can we just get through this year? Can we just run this business together and just kind of, you know, add things that we like to do, cut things that we don't, start a podcast? Like, can we just sort of like be in the flow of this? So I love that you did that. And there was no like, well, what's the, you know, return on investment here? What's my P&L? What's all this crazy stuff that like people are probably, maybe, you know, Kelly School of Business people are like, you guys are idiots. Mm. But we're this is so amazing for us.
Yeah. No, actual business people are like real dumb. But, I think it's probably the same for you guys too. Like, it is such a fulfillment of passion for me. And that for me is the best form of self-care, especially as a mother. I'm sick of people saying to me, like, me getting to take a shower or go to Target is self-care. Like, that's the biggest load of garbage. I'm so angry about it. Like, those are normal, like, everyday things that you should be able to do. This mm-hmm. is actual self-care. This is like me getting to create something from nothing and bring it all the way through to fruition and factor in what people want. And just also like finding what really, really, really brings me joy. Like, I don't think I have felt this fulfilled in a long time. And I love being in my classroom and being with my students. And that is very fulfilling to me. But there are a lot of aspects of teaching that I think I'm just worn out on, honestly. Mm-hmm. I'm actually decided to take the leap after a lot of consideration and stepping away from teaching completely and just pursuing the business full time next year.
Oh,
so
congratulations. Oh, we got the exclusive.
Oh my gosh. If I had like a hand clapping audio right now, I would do it. So I'm just going to do it right here.
That's awesome.
Your stuff, I mean, it's really awesome. Like, your social media is, you can see that your passion comes out in that. I just love it.
Like, and the thing about it is, and again, this is the great thing. I'm not trying to be like 1-800 flowers and in fact, I'm trying to be the total opposite of that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to do things in a really, really different way. And I think doing it small is the way that that's going to happen. I don't need to be gigantic to be successful. And successful is not necessarily termed in dollars and cents for me. You know what I mean? It's about doing something really well in my small little corner of the world and being really happy with that and getting to have my family involved in it and my kids, my husband. Like, it's just, it's amazing. And frankly, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And I can always go back and teach, or, you know, I'm low maintenance, man. I could go bag groceries. Like, I really, like, as long as I can do the creative stuff in some capacity, you know, work is work. And that's great. But it's awesome when you can combine two things. But it's also, we're not living or dying by this. And I'm lucky. Like, my husband, you know, I was never the bread. I'm a teacher. Like, I was never, like, the main income. Yeah. In our family. Yeah. So I have the ability. And, you know, not that we have so much money that it doesn't matter. It matters to us. Like, this needs to be successful. Like, I need to be earning an income. So hopefully it will work out, but I'm not going to put the pressure on myself of having to be like some massive, you know, entity. I just don't have to do that. And frankly, I think it's really counter to what I do anyway. So
I don't even know how I'm going to find a quote for that whole section, because I speak in our language though, because we say that all the time, like the second you start having, or you stop having fun and you start putting the pressure and you start making it this bigger than what it is, like, I just love how you say, like, I'm in my little corner of the world, I'm doing my thing. And then that's that authenticity and that organic growth is going to last so much longer than anything else that, you know, is so short term or inauthentic, or you're not having fun and it feels like, oh, I'm just here. I don't even want to be here on a Saturday, but I should show up, because, you know, if I skip a weekend and you lose the joy in it. And I think that people forget that. People turn it into the dollars and cents. And yes, like you said, like, that's important for sure, but that will come. You'll never get that if you're starting off and you already are frustrated and overwhelmed and the passion is gone and the creativity side is, you're just like, meh, I'm turning and burning and this is it, you know?
So, well, and it's so true too. Like, also people want to act, especially today, that like, oh, if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life, which is so silly, because the best things in life are the things that you work and scrape and push for, right? Like, I'm a hustler, and you guys, I know you guys are too. If you have a business, you're hustling all the time and thinking and pivoting, like you're saying. Like, there were things I did in October that I would never do now. You know what I mean? Like, they don't make sense for me in the model of what I'm trying to do and where I'm trying to go or whatever. So, but the things that I do all the time, like right now, I have two full-time jobs. I'm full-time teaching and I'm full-time in this business and planning weddings and doing consults and popping up at events and making new products and shipping and you know, all this stuff. Like, I am working so hard. I mean, you know, before a wedding, I'm usually up all night. Like, I don't go to sleep, because to prep the, like, I prep those flowers fresh. I'm not trying to bring somebody sad flowers on their wedding day.
Good luck.
A girlfriend of mine, they're like doing their own, you know, flowers, and she got a bouquet from somebody, and my girlfriend texted me and she was like, so the floor says she's going to deliver my daughter's bouquet 4 days before the event. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
And she was like, does that seem normal? And I was like, no, it does not. No. Like, I'm literally the night before, I'm up like drinking coffee, making flowers at my kitchen table while everybody else is asleep, because that's when I have time to do it. And that's when it's quiet. And that's the way to keep them the freshest, like, best quality product that I can deliver. You know what I'm saying? So that hustle, to me, I find a lot of value in that. Like, I find a lot of joy in that too. I love working hard and getting a result. Like, for me, there's satisfaction in that. And I think that that's an innate human thing. Like, I think everybody feels that. You just have to find what it is that you like that brings that to you. For some people, it's working out. Not me. For some people, it's, you know, I don't know, crafting or whatever it is. But for me, flowers, plants, and I think part of that is the life that those bring. Like, life that those bring into spaces or into moments and memories are so, it's just so beautiful to me. So then getting to hard work and hustle for it and getting passionate, like, it all just, for me, it all just comes together.
Gosh, I love your whole brand. I mean, I just love it. I really do. I mean, and I champion so much behind small business owners like yourself that have this drive and this passion, but it means so much more to them and the family and their clients and the experience. We're so big on experiences. Like, what is a bouquet? Like, what sort of experience does that provide for somebody? I know you were doing, this is after Valentine's Day of this year, but I know you were doing all these giveaways and you had husbands that were buying their bouquets for their wives and then their wives were tagging you and they were just like overwhelmed.
So funny.
Yes. And I'm like, what a fun thing versus like, I'm just going to hit the gas station and go grab some roses. And like, you had just almost like handcrafted each one of these bouquets specifically for all these different ladies. And I was like, it was just really beautiful. So it was a whole experience and it was really fun, I'm sure, for the husbands also. And
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we've all gotten to a more mature place in relationships where, I mean, the best advice I think I ever got was like, stop expecting your husband to think like you do. Mm-hmm. And it was like so great for our marriage because I don't want him to be me. I want him to be him. But if I like something, you know what I'm saying? He would rather I just tell him, and I would rather get something I like. Like, you know, there are certain flowers that are not my favorite, right? Yeah. I don't like them very much. Yeah, exactly, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would rather just say to him, like, hey, I really love these. So anytime you see these and get, like I've said that to him, anytime you see these, get them because I love them. And there is nothing wrong with somebody picking up a bouquet at a bringing it home. I have 5 reasons why you shouldn't do that and better ways to do that. We can get to that in a second. But yes. There's nothing wrong. Like love and affection, like showing somebody you care through those like gifts or acts of service, like things like that are all wonderful. But as your marriage matures, like I feel like this is a way to be a really small way. And not just marriage, but relationships, mother-daughter relationships or friendships even. Like this is a way to sort of bring in another layer of like care and intention in a relationship. And it doesn't cost a lot. And it's easy to be intentional mm-hmm. because you can ask someone or you can easily look on someone's feed and figure like it's just not that hard. And it really, I think the mileage you get out of it is really like a lot more than the investment that you put into it. And I love getting to do that. So when all these like girls started tagging all their husbands and boyfriends. And I'm like, this is genius mm-hmm. because how else would they know? They don't follow me. Why would they follow a florist? Right. But I probably follow like 50 florists because right. that's what I'm into. Like for me. So for them to start tagging them and then their husbands would like sheepishly message me and be like, hey, I'm not sure. And I'm like, I got you, bro. Like just tell me what your budget is and just tell me the color she loves. And I will design you something beautiful in that frame. Because that's my problem with like the big box flower stores is you can only pick what they have, right? Like mm-hmm. they have pictures and they're beautiful, but you can only pick what they have. But like, let's say somebody just loves red. Mm-hmm. I would rather be able to go to my wholesaler and get the freshest blooms in red and design something really, really stunning. And I can fit it within your budget than you saying, I want 2 dozen red roses, which at Valentine's Day cost $100. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like I could take your $100 and do something totally different with it. That's not going to look like everybody else's. And it's going to feel really meaningful. And I think, I don't know, I just love getting to do that.
I'm thinking about all these, like you're hitting all of our questions because we're like, what's the etiquette for like gifting floral arrangements? And you're like, research, like just tag your husband or like poke around on their social media and just kind of like be creative. I love that. Like just be intentional about it. And then, well, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I think that's the thing too, like etiquette, right? It's just, it feels like a different time, but there's something about flowers that's sort of timelessly, I don't know, transcends like, I don't know, things like that. So I still get a lot of orders for people sending like sympathy flowers or empathy flowers or things like that. But then also I had a client of mine just last week who wanted to send sympathy flowers to a friend, but she didn't want to send flowers. She wanted to send something like that would bring them peace. And so she ended up deciding to send them these shower bundles that we do that like are research proven to reduce anxiety and stress and things like that, like just for something. And those will last for a month. You know what I'm saying? So I think that the etiquette of sending something still applies and that sending something for Valentine's Day still applies. But I think that also we now have the freedom to be a little different and you can send, you know, a gift or, you know, a different kind of arrangement, maybe not roses for Valentine's Day or, you know, something different for sympathy or Mother's Day or whatever it is. I feel like the field of options has opened up a lot, which is really cool. So the etiquette is you definitely should still be sending these things, but there are ways to do it that feel more modern and fresh mm-hmm. for people who like that, I guess.
And I love that example that you gave. Kayla loves the fresh eucalyptus shower bundles. Yes. Yeah.
Genius.
Once you know, you know. Yeah. It's a whole, like my husband was like, this is such a, he was like, there's no way. Like he thought I was like making it up or something. So, and I hung some in our shower and a couple days later he comes out and he's like, well, you can really smell it in there and it's nice.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, Vince, you're on your third shower today. Yeah. I figured it out.
It's true. And there's so much science behind that. I mean, even behind having plants and stuff in your house, like there's just, I've always had them in my classroom. for that same reason. And so your home is no different. And so you can have the fresh flowers and arrangements and things like that, or you can have the more botanical stuff. But there's science behind like the benefits to having these things in our homes.
So what's the difference there with botanicals and florals? Is botanical, like, is that because you're in Florida and that's like a seasonal, not seasonal, but is that more of, is that plants? Or what's botanicals versus florals?
So here's the deal. Really, florals are part of botanicals. Like, botanicals are anything sort of that grows. For me, when I started the business, I didn't want to box myself into just flower deliveries. Mm-hmm. I felt like, in a business sense, what made the most sense for me was diversity. And I wanted to, like, sort of leave the door open to other things. Which in hindsight, just by luck of the draw, ended up being really valuable, because that's probably half or more of our business now is the botanical side of things, mm-hmm. and not just the fresh florals. Mm-hmm. So botanicals really is just anything kind of live or growing or whatever. So we do plants, we do all sorts of things. And that opens up the door for also things that have like botanical oils. So we use essential oils and we do cleaning products and bath products and things like that. So the idea of it is that it just encompasses everything and leaves more room for that. And I think sometimes people think of, like, if you want to order a bouquet of flowers, you can think of a million places to go and you can Google a place immediately. But if you want to get a really nice potted plant, I'm not sure that everyone says, oh, I know just where I would go for that.
No,
you know
what
I mean? And so we kind of wanted to be a business that, I always say we, it's me. I'm the only one. It's me and my family. But like, I wanted it to feel
small but mighty.
Yeah. Small but crazy. I just wanted it to be a sort of one-stop shop for anything just life-giving. And so that's kind of why we left that botanical. But yes, in Florida, it's a big part of what our design is. Like, that island Palm Beach kind of aesthetic is very much rooted in the outdoors being in. Like, we live outside half of the year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
that's one thing. Do you know, I mean, you're an avid big fan and listener, and you can relate.
Yes,
you relate to Kayla a lot more, mm-hmm. on being outdoorsy, but that is one thing, because I'm not overly outdoorsy, but I
shocker
but I instead of bringing like plants inside, I've been getting on board recently with flowers in the home. And
yeah,
I used to say, I don't even know, like, maybe it was because it was like the thing to say. It was like, oh, I don't like flowers because they just die. It's like just throwing your money away. And then I don't even know like why I started saying that. But because now, probably in the past like 2 or 3 years, my husband has been randomly bringing flowers home and I love it. I'm like, yeah, these are beautiful. And I take so much pride, and I'm like, these have lasted a week. I'm on week two now. And I like trim them and I keep up with them. And I'm like, I'm a plant lady. Mm-hmm. And then they don't last forever. But like, I can get on board with the florals or the botanicals in the home versus,
yeah,
like Kayla and her husband have plants.
Wait, yes.
Like,
they now have, plant mind moms. You, Crystal and I growing up, we never grew up with indoor plants or anything like that. Like,
no.
I don't even remember actually bouquets or anything. Mm-mm. And so then when our husbands came around, especially mine, he is very much a plant guy. I mean,
he was naming his plants.
Oh, yeah.
They all have
Kramer, yucca tree.
Yeah, there's
tree.
A lot of people. Yes,
yeah.
With
and
the
so
naming.
Then,
I love that.
I mean, indoor plants are such a mood enhancement. And it's one of my favorite things that I take care of now. Like, I do the succulents inside. Now, if I can get my cat to stay out of my plants... Mm.
Yeah,
you know, if you have any tips for that, because if not, you can go ahead and have this cat, because she's going to be gone.
It's the plants or the cat.
Yeah.
And right now, the plants
are
winning.
And right now, the plants will always win. But yeah, he has luckily brought that into my like well-being of saying like, mm-hmm. no, these are really nice. Now we have the outside garden and it's just all full circle. I love it, love it, love it. So being able to talk to you and kind of knowing the difference of stuff and then just seeing like, again, that eucalyptus, I mean, those are always my favorite. That's my favorite candle scent, hands mm-hmm. down. I like the clean. I like that it helps me de-stress.
It's for every season too. Like, I think
exactly.
there are some yep. scents or some like rose. Roses remind you of Valentine's Day, or there are certain scents where like maybe hollies or things that are, you know, or evergreen, like that's kind of Christmassy,
yeah.
But eucalyptus is just so timeless.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it has that really clean, fresh note to it. Yeah. Like, I think, you know, I was thinking about this even when you guys had Molly on and from Paladin, and she was like talking about like curating your design aesthetic, right? And instead of going with trends, thinking more about like what you really love, like what things are you drawn to, like what would you put in your cart, you know, or whatever, like all that kind of stuff. I think botanicals are the same way. I see them as like the last layer of your design aesthetic. And to me, it really completes a home to have those things there, whether it's fresh or planted things or both, a mixture. I like a mixture of both. But definitely like that to me is like that last layer. It's like those, it's the accessories of your outfit in my mind. Like it's those things that sort of make everything else pop, and they change with the season and they bring like life into the space. Like all of that stuff from a design standpoint makes sense. And really it's an economical way to add real luxury to a space, because when you bring in flowers, when you bring in plants, like it just adds this layer of luxury in that you can't get from anything else. Like you can have silk and faux plants or whatever. And I think that's what my mom had growing up in the 80s. I think that was really popular, things like that. But now we have such access to things. So I think it's easy to add that in and have it be, you know, really like just another way to add to your design. So for some people, so like for Crystal, you do the fresh flowers, right? Like your husband brings you the fresh stuff.
Yeah, I don't even know what to pick out. That was my next question, was like, what's beginner 101 on like somebody who really wants to sort of, I'm not looking to have a garden out in my backyard.
No, for sure.
But I really want to have plants. And people are like, succulents. And I'm like, I actually kill succulents.
No, don't. No, they're terrible. This is what I can't understand. So people always say like, oh, if you're terrible with plants, start with succulents. Succulents are real finicky. Like they don't, they've got an attitude. Orchids are the same way. Like that to me is higher, harder level of care. Like I have a couple of plants that are really great for beginners that are super easy, but like starting with florals. Okay. So if you're going to buy florals from the grocery store, which I'm not going to knock. Okay. But at some point, buy your girl some really nice flowers. Like it's a, there's a total difference.
We need to get set up on your subscription service. I will let him know. Yes,
you should. For sure. Like just set them up. But like, okay. So Trader Joe's has incredible florals for incredible prices. So if you're going to go to a grocery store, go to a Trader Joe's or a Whole Foods or something like that, that they're going to have better options. But when you go to a grocery store, don't buy a pre-made bouquet. I know it feels simpler because someone's already designed it for you, but what you have in that bouquet is probably a lot of different kinds of flowers that have different needs. And so they don't last as long. So like my go-to move is if I go to the grocery store, because I will, like sometimes I just have to run to the store and grab something, whatever. I'm going to grab three different flowers in the same color family, right? Okay. So like all lavenders or all pinks or all reds or whatever looks good, or complementary colors, but always work in odd numbers, same as design. So like instead of getting two things, get three or get five. And you can use those filler. So get white baby's breath, white roses, and then white Peruvian lilies, which are in every grocery store in America. They're super cheap and they go a long way for your money because you get a big bunch of them. And when you group those things together, you can either put them all together in a vase or you can put them in separate vessels, like in a line down your table or your counter or whatever. Like they're going to look so good because they're inherently the same aesthetic. Like they have the same color family. So it looks high end. No one's going to think, oh, she got those from Kroger or whatever. It's Publix down here. I don't know what your grocery store is. But yeah, like try and stick in that same family. And then the deal with fresh flowers is clip them on a diagonal as soon as you get home, because then they have more surface area to drink. Okay. So if you want to keep them fresh, like they need water. Mm-hmm. Keep them away from windows. Ironically, cut flowers don't like fresh sunlight. Like it kills them.
A great tip.
It makes them well. Okay. Yeah.
It makes them well. So, and then, which is a no-no.
Yes. It makes them well. And so will fresh fruit. There are like vaporous acids that fruits put off that will wilt fresh flowers. So a lot of people keep them on their kitchen table next to their fruit bowls or whatever. And that's kind of a mistake. For most of your more like dainty flowers, you want to keep them away from fresh fruit. And then every couple of days, I'm talking like every 2 or 3 days, take your flowers out, rinse the stems off, clip a fresh clip, and wash the flower water out of the vase. Because the bacteria bacteria grows in there, and that's the enemy of keeping them alive. And if you do that, like if you kind of go in as a flower dies, pull it out every couple of days, rinse them off, reclip them, like your arrangements from a store and especially from a florist will last for at least 2 weeks.
Ooh,
you know, if amazing. Not longer.
Yeah.
So you're, it can, I say like some people are like, oh, it's so much money and then they just die. That's how I used to think too. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say to Vince, like, especially when times were tight, when we were first married, I'm like, that's a waste of money, whatever. But they bring me joy every time I see them.
Me too.
They bring life to a room. Like there are a lot of things we invest in a million different ways that don't necessarily last long, but bring us joy one way or another. Coffee, like going out to dinner, things like that, right? Like,
preach.
I don't see flowers as any different than that. And a lot of times they last longer than those other things anyway. Yeah. And if you maintain them and keep them up, use the flower food that they provide you. And if you don't have that, put a little Sprite in the water.
I was going to ask. I thought that was a myth. And I was like, I had my hand up. Did I not? I was like, Crystal, don't say anything. I'm going to ask. And then, you know what? I should have just let you. Whatever. I'm done. Ripping them up.
Tearing them up. Burn it down.
Sprite. Okay.
Yes.
Pour some Sprite.
Yeah. So really what it is.
Real like Sprite or kind of like we do like lemon lime LaCroix?
No.
Okay.
Any kind of lemon lime. Like the idea is that there's sugar and carbonation in there. And again, it's just preventing bacteria. If you're changing your water frequently, it's less important that you have an additive. But if you have it, use it. Like you can use an additive. There are recipes online where you can actually make your own additives relatively easily. But also just a little bit of Sprite in the water will do it. I don't like bleach. That was an old school thing. That tends to be too harsh. But just a little bit of lemon lime soda in there. And then it's really the constant rinsing and trimming. And not constant, but every couple of days. And the same thing with that is true of plants. When we have to intentionally care for things, it's good for our brains and our emotional like psyche. Mm-hmm. It's just good for us. When we have to keep something alive, when we have to keep coming back and taking care of it. That's why so many people who have pets, like those jerk cats who chew all of our plants. Like,
thank you.
So many people who have pets also have plants because it's the same personality trait where you want to care for something. Mm-hmm. So like that makes sense. Right. So the idea is that you were keep coming back to it. And there's joy in that. Like there's real joy in sitting at your sink and looking out the window and just rinsing off the stem. Like just take like
the simplicity. Time just,
just breathe and do that and just watch as they change. Like when I design a bouquet, the way I design it, it's designed to change over time because those flowers are going to open and bloom. Like there's room for them to move because they're alive. You know what I'm saying? Like even clipped, they're still alive at that point. So it's going to evolve over time. It's going to look different. You know, from every angle, it's going to look different. And so there's real simple, slow, quiet joy in watching those things over a period of days, right? And then it's that same principle applied to houseplants over a much longer period of time.
Talking about houseplants, okay.
Yeah.
Do you use a particular potting soil or how important is that? I am dead serious. Why are you laughing over there?
Because all your questions are very like, very, this is happening in my house.
Was this episode not for me? I'm sorry. But
it's very like, I need you to come to my house.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. Go ahead.
I'm trying to learn from the
This
best.
Is how we are though. Like, and I will tell plant you, mom. Nobody believes me. This is so true. 3 years ago, I could not keep a plant alive to save my life.
Wow.
So
there's hope for me.
Yeah.
There is absolute hope for anyone because I just didn't get it. I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really look into it. I just took snippets I'd heard over the years and tried to combine them. And it was always a failure. And everyone in Florida gives orchids and my orchids would always die. Well, that's because orchids are jungle plants who hate being inside. Like they don't want to be in your house. They like humidity. They like heat and they like to be left alone. Mm. They're real finicky. And so like I just stuck mine in a tree a year ago and they just bloomed again. Wow. I haven't touched them one time. The only place for an orchid in your house is probably your bathroom. Like they just don't like it in there. And so again, like a couple of years ago, I couldn't keep anything alive. And I just said to myself, you know what? I'm going to look into this because I really want some plants. I really wanted them for my classroom as well. And so I started with peace lilies. Peace lilies are a great beginner plant. So like for the listeners who think they kill everything, start with a peace lily because they're incredibly forgiving. They will tell you when they need water because they start to droop. and you water them, and then they perk right back up. They're so forgiving. They don't need super bright light. So if you have a corner that doesn't have as bright light as somewhere else, like whatever, they're perfect for that. And so that's a great plant to start with. Even once they aren't blossoming with those white, beautiful blossoms, they're still a beautiful house plant.
So this is going to be a house plant that lasts longer than a flower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your house, a peace lily. I mean, I've had a peace lily for 2 or 3 years, like depending on.
Wow.
Yeah. Because they're so, this is what I'm saying. So even when they're not blooming, because they will give you flowers. So it's like combining that fresh flower feel certain seasons of the year. But then you get a houseplant the rest of the time, and they're low maintenance and easy to forgive. Kayla, to your question, for most people, regular potting soil that you can buy at the store is fine. Okay. Like, it's really not a lot of, like, I mix my own, I get it from my wholesaler, and then I mix stuff into it, whatever. But you don't even have to do that. Really, the stuff they have now is good enough. I would say that in the spring and summer, I recommend, they have these fertilizer spikes where it's literally just like a cylinder. I posted a reel yesterday where I was planting a ponytail palm in like an old copper pot, and I show you the fertilizer spikes. You just literally stick it in the soil, and it's good for weeks. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to, because that's the most important thing, is plants have to be fed, not just watered. And the fertilizer feeds them.
Okay.
So, awesome. but they really only need to be fed like aggressively when they're growing, which is spring and summer. In the fall and winter, they're almost like hibernating. So they don't need as much care. They don't need as much food then. They need the water, but they don't need as much food. So make sure that you have a decent potting soil from whatever your garden center is. And I would highly recommend that people look for a nursery. Home Depot and Lowe's are awesome, and I love them, and I shop there. But that's not the same as like going to a small nursery. First of all, shop small whenever you can. Mm-hmm. But second of all, those people who work at nurseries are trained. They know like what's growing in season, what's not going to last in your, I mean, that's one of our biggest problems. We see a houseplant online and we're like, oh, I want one of those. Well, if you don't have the humidity in your house or the time to take care of this thing, like that's not a good choice for you. Like you've got to assess your environment and figure out what's going to survive there before you just bring something in.
And eliminate all the frustration when it dies, because that's what happens. Yeah. Is we have this frustration like, I can't keep plants alive. This is ugly. No, I'm not going to waste it. But it's like we're setting ourselves up for failure when we try to buy something, like you said, online. We're seeing a picture of it at fully bloomed in the right climate, in the right temperament of where it's supposed to be. And then we get it and we're like, what?
With someone who makes their entire living curating their plants at home for Instagram. Like that's it.
Yeah.
There's a real Instagram versus reality hole in plants. Like you can go, like these plant accounts online, I mean, it would make anybody feel bad about themselves. Like, they're like living in full on jungles. But all these people do is take care of these plants all day, like all day long. And I mean, I get it, and it's awesome if you can do that. But for regular people who have other jobs, who have other commitments, who travel, things like that, you have to be mindful of like what's realistic for you. You know, we live in Florida. Our humidity is really high all the time. Mm-hmm. So for here, for plants which love humidity, that helps. If you're up north and you have a long winter where you have a heater running in your house, it's probably very, very dry.
Yeah.
And that's really hard on plants. So you have to like think about that. You know, how you water them and when you water them and all that stuff. Like it can be overwhelming, but it's not impossible. You can take your phone and you know how Google will let you search for a song?
Mm-hmm.
Like you just hold the button and it listens. Well, Google will also do that with a photo, and you can take a picture of your plant and Google it, and it will take you to a 1,000 websites. Yeah. That will show you care tips for that plant. And then you just got to say, okay, so this will work for me. I have the time for this. I can invest in this, whatever. And this is what I need to do to keep it alive. Ferns are amazing. I love ferns, but ferns crave moisture. They're high maintenance plants. I wouldn't say that there's easy or difficult plants, but I would say that there are more low maintenance plants and more high maintenance plants. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that we love that we see online, like fiddleleaf figs and ferns and monsteras and ficus plants, even some of them, and orchids and things like that, succulents, those are medium to more difficult maintenance plants. Like they need a lot of care. You have to go to them every day or every couple of days and check in on them like children. Like if you don't have time for a pet, you probably don't have time for plants. Like
that's a good tip.
Yeah.
It's really the truth. Like it's a commitment, but it is a commitment that will give back to you. Like not just in stress and anxiety reduction, which is absolutely proven to be true. It calms you. It, you know, forces you to slow down. It purifies the air, though. Also, it helps minimize allergies. It can help reduce headaches. It can help reduce fatigue. It can boost healing and pain tolerance and improve your mood and your focus. Like, literally, science has proven all of that to be true. But a lot of those benefits come from you slowing down and taking time to take care of the plants. So it's like, if you don't have the time to do it, then you don't have the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
But I think it's valuable to make the time because it really does change things.
I'm heading to Whole Foods after we get off the phone. I'm going to grab, start my little bouquet here. Dominica, yeah. I love yes. chatting with you. We could chat. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. We could go on and on and on.
I could talk forever. I know.
But I wish we will definitely bring you back because I've been writing so many notes that I'm like, and Kayla earlier was like, I have a question. Like yeah. she just was like making notes for herself. And we're like, I even said like, we'll have her back. Like we have too many things. But I want to touch base real quick. Like, what's to come for Branton Blossom? Like, I know that you have some gifts on there. I have purchased a lot of your candles because I've switched over to I don't even know what it's called. Like non-toxic.
Chemicals.
Yeah. And so I've purchased your candles and I love them. And now I'm going to get set up on a subscription of, you know, florals or whatever you can send from down there up here. We're going to get on board with that. But what else, what's to come for you like this summer? I know that you gave us the exclusive about kind of going full time. So like, what does that mean? What's next? All along of, you know, enjoying the present. Of what this business is too.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, I'm trying to really make it work. And what that is in a business like this is a balance of big events. And then basically what I'm trying to do is curate a small clientele that are faithful to me, mm-hmm. which helps them obviously, but helps me more obviously. I'm not so worried about having 10,000 customers, but what I want is a small like niche group of customers who really trust me and sort of believe in what I do and, you know, keep coming back again and again, and then balancing that with those big events. So definitely we're trying to just expand our event presence. I actually had to hire someone for part of the next month because I have so many events going on that I need a little bit of help. Like now it's not an actual hire, but it was a big move for us. Like it was a big moment for us to have to say like, hey,
we need
somebody else. Yeah. So, cause these events, like when I set up for a wedding, like if you go on our Instagram, there's a reel of me doing a wedding arch, like a flower arch or whatever. I mean, that takes 3 hours. Like I go on, like nothing is ahead of time. It's all custom. It's all on site. And so it takes time and it does take an assistant. And I think my husband, God bless him, is very helpful, but also has a job that he has to go to. So for us, it's focusing on just kind of expanding that niche clientele that we have. And then also kind of getting the word out outside of Florida. There are a lot of things that we can provide to people who don't live here. There are some plants that we can ship. There are products that we can ship. We're definitely on that same like non-toxic. I think after COVID, everything was so covered in chemicals for so long, mm-hmm. like because we were all trying to protect ourselves in an emergency sort of way that mm-hmm. now I've never been like this before, but now I'm very much in like, I just want a lot less chemicals. I want a lot less of that artificial stuff. And so, you know, we made our cleaning line because I basically was looking for products that didn't have a bunch of garbage in them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have to antibacterially disinfect every single surface every single minute of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, after you prep chicken, sure, you want to wipe it down like with some Clorox. But like, if you're just making toast, like you don't need to be wiping Clorox all over your counter, you know, or even the candles. Like when I started looking at the ingredients on a lot of the, you know, big brand candles that I buy, I'm like, what is that? Like, and now I just like, I don't know, I pour candles. It's wax and oil. Like that's it. Like there's nothing else in it. There doesn't need to be anything else mm-hmm. in it, you know? And so for us kind of probably not expanding those products, but expanding the clients that we're sending them to. So one of the things I was going to say, like one of the great ways to start with plants, if you're not good with plants, you think you kill everything, Crystal.
Yep. I don't think, you know, I know. I literally have physical proof of these things not being here today.
So one of the easiest ways is what, there's this great guy online, his name's Hilton Carter. You should follow him on Instagram. Don't get overwhelmed. He's a hero, but like he has great practical tips. But he's famous for his propagation cradles. Like he has propagation stations, and propagating is just taking plants that you have and clipping them in a certain way and making them Then they'll start to grow more plants, basically. But anyway, so we sell propagation stations as well. And they're cool. They have a really modern look to them. A lot of them look like beakers from science class, like sitting in a wooden cradle.
Love them.
And you just put, yeah, you just put like leaves clipped in a certain way, in a certain place, off of plants you probably already have. If you like plants, or if you don't, literally, you could ask someone. It doesn't cost a thing. It's really easy. You just put them in these little beakers, and then that's it. Like, you change the water every 2 weeks and that's it. You don't, they will stay alive and they grow. You'll watch the roots grow in the base of these clear vessels. It's so cool to watch it happen over time. They're very low maintenance. You literally can't kill them. Like, they just sit in the water and grow new roots. And then eventually, when you're comfortable, you can plant them in a pot or whatever. But you could leave them propagating in these cradles for forever. Like, it's just, it's a great low maintenance way to bring some life in. You can have them all over. You can mount them on the wall. We just got some new sets in. So those we can ship easily. Our products we can ship easily. We do a lot of dried botanicals. So what's really popular right now are like pampas grass and palm fans and like these dried arrangements.
Do you ship the pampas grass? Because I'm
– yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I saw that's kind of the new thing. And I'm like, oh,
it is. Okay. And what's great about it is, again, it's a low economic investment for a huge aesthetic impact in your house. Mm. Like, if you have a family room that's double ceiling, right? Like, so it's really, really tall. It, mm-hmm. You can put, I mean, right now we carry an 8-foot pampas grass. Like, it's massive, you know, and it doesn't require any care because it's preserved, it's dried.
You said earlier about having that luxury feel. I feel like that puts off that vibe and like, it does.
And it's
a
relatively low, that's what I'm saying. Like, economically, it's a relatively low investment, but you're getting 8 feet of aesthetic space in a specific design style. And they can go anywhere or whatever. And they have life. So like, when your air conditioning pops on and there's a little breeze in your house, they sort of move. Like, it's not static. It definitely, to me, I just think it's a cool way to bring stuff in. So all of that stuff we can ship to. And so there are like different things that we can.
And you do have the subscription, don't you have the subscription? I don't say boxes.
We do.
But, okay.
Yeah. So for local people here, we have plant subscriptions and then we have flower delivery subscriptions. And look at your local florist and see, a lot of them have subscription services now because it's such a popular thing. I had a sweet lady who, her mother-in-law lost her husband and he used to buy her flowers all the time. So she bought for Christmas, she got her a subscription of flower deliveries for 4 months so that for 4 months she would have fresh flowers delivered to her house. You know, just to sort of not take the place of, but like add to that feeling, you know, just a way to remember and not have to buy them herself or, you know, and we have them at all different price points, but most florists are doing things like that now. And again, look for a local florist, like look for somebody local. You can go in and talk to them. You can tell them what you want. They tend to be more flexible. They have things at different price points. So there really is like something for everybody. And plant subscriptions are more popular now too. So all of those things are possible. They're out there. You just have to look for them.
Yep. That's what I'm going to make some notes. I know. I'm going to start a couple things I'm starting with, and then I'm just going to build up my pretty soon.
And that's the key. Start with something small and simple. Like, don't go buy 10 plants from the store. Like, start with something like a peace lily or a ZZ plant or the pothos, which has the long vines, which are almost indestructible, snake plants, air plants, something like that. They're really simple. They don't take a ton of work. You water them in your sink once a week and let them drain out the bottom. Like, it's pretty basic. Like, start with something small so you can feel a victory.
Yes.
And then start adding other stuff in.
Who would have thought that 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, you couldn't keep a plant alive?
I'm serious. Like,
you are my plant lady now. You are it. There is anything that I have, I'm going straight to you. And hey, no longer am I going to do, or no longer, I'm not even going to start sending a photo to Google. I'm going to send it to you and be like, what is the care for this?
Oh, like, she doesn't have enough going on that she doesn't need to decide.
So many people do that, though. Like, so many people, I have this one sweet lady and she'll just text me pictures of her plant. Like, what do I do? I'm like, I got you. Like, it's going to be fine. And that's the beauty of small. Like, I have the ability to do that and I'm happy to do that. Mm.
I love it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Before we jump off, though, I do want to give a quick shout out to you, Calla, because I know that she's your daughter. I know that she listens. So, Calla, hey, girl. And also, she just started a new little handmade clay jewelry business. And so,
oh my gosh, yeah.
Check so her cute. Out. It is North End Clay. So, thanks for being a listener, too, Calla.
Yes, yes. And so then, again, no matter where you live, you can shop her online boutique and have a little bit of Florida in your home. Her website is Branch and Blossom Botanicals. And then her social is at Branch and Blossom Botanicals.
That's correct.
Domenica, it has been a true treat chatting with you. Guys, this has been amazing.
I don't want to do anything else. Yeah. I just want to stay on the phone and talk. Like,
well, now it's about that afternoon time. Yeah. We can, after this call, maybe we have a little sip and chat of our own. Mode. Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
we're going to
maybe record our next episode because I feel like this could be.
We could do a plant series. I loved having you on. There was so much valuable information that, I mean, there were so many key takeaways. Mm-hmm. So I truly, truly appreciate it. And thank you so much for your time today and for just being such a good lifelong friend.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me in your dorm room all those years ago.
Of course. Absolutely. That was the best decision.
Thank you guys
One of the
so
best
much.
Decisions I've made.
Oh, no, thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, right. Domenica.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe.